All right. Well, I sure am glad to be here tonight. I know you just got out of a sermon, so I'll try to keep your attention and everything. I appreciate you being here. I'm more nervous speaking to you all. You say, Brother Haglund, what would you be nervous about? Y'all, many of you heard all my stories, heard all my messages. I'm preaching tomorrow. I had to write a whole new one. All right. I had to go to the web and find a sermon or something, or ask my wife or something like that. But guys, relax. Good night. You ought to be pumped. How many out of school for the summer? All right. How many of you are actually progressing to the next grade? How many of you are amazed that you're progressing to the next grade? Anybody like that? Man, when I was in high school, I got to be a junior in high school and 10th grade. I was into a whole bunch of good godly music. Not really. I was into a lot of things I shouldn't have been into. But I decided, man, I figured if I could pick up a guitar, I could probably teach myself how to do it. And I did. I bought my first guitar. I think I was going into 11th grade and taught myself how to play guitar. Anybody ever play tablature? Anybody do that? Okay, it's a way to cheat and not learn music, but I did all that. Of course, the music I was listening to, you just had to turn it up real loud and distort it and just play, and it sounded cool. It's kind of like snowboarding. When you fall, you look like you're doing a trick. So I could look cool even when I wasn't trying. But I went to school. I don't even know how I graduated. Now, I'm not stupid. I just didn't do any of the work. I'd come home and start playing the guitar, and I'd do that rather than doing my work and things like that. So anybody else like me, you might not be playing the guitar, but you're going, I'm progressing in the next grade, but I really don't know how, but I'm thankful, all right? Some of you are like, yeah, praise the Lord, finally out of second grade. Man, I've been working at this for a long time. I remember being a youth pastor for 10 and a half years, and I was like, there was a few guys that would stay in teen church, and they'd be like 25, 26 years old, and I'm like, man, you're being a lifer. I don't even want to be a lifer in a teen church service. That's just kind of, you turn into creeper mode, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're introducing yourself to junior hires. You're 25 years old. They're 13, you know. Stay away from me. But, man, I'm having a good time. I do have some new stories. I'll tell you some of them tomorrow, but I'll tell you this. Coolest thing that happened. How many of you were at Teen Spectacular this year? Went to Teen Spectacular. If you remember, I got up and I started talking about the story how our principal came to my wife and I and said, I need to talk to you. And I'm thinking, oh, no, what did he do? What did Luke do? You know, or what did the girls do? What are my kids in trouble for now? And I'll just say this, you know, when you grow up and you have parent or you have kids and things, they'll come to you and say, do you know what your kid did? Usually that's not a good thing. All right. When they come to me and say, do you know what your kid did? Now I started answering like this, man, were they passing out tracts and witnessing again? Were they quoting scripture? No, they did this, that, and the other. Okay. Well, they got that from their mother. Okay. So we're working on that. We're praying about that. But they came to us and said, we need to talk to you, and said, sure. What's that? We had six graduates this year from our Christian school, and they said they're going to Disney World on their senior vacation. Now, we're just up from Gaylord, small town, but they had been raising money for 3 years. They said they would like you and Mrs. Haglund to be their chaperone. Would you go? And I said, let me pray about it. Absolutely, we're in. And I don't know if you remember the story, but I went home, got all my kids around. I'm just warping my kids. It's a lot of fun. How many of you, your parents warped you a little bit and messed with you? Anybody like that? Just messing with your head? All right. Well, I'm messing with my kids' head. I'm returning the favor. All right. And they're going to have a lot. They're going to have to spend a lot of money in therapy. But I gathered all my kids around and I said, hey, everybody, guess what? We're going to Disney World. They're all cheering. Woo! I'm like, no. I grabbed my wife and said, we're going. You're staying home. Luke 16. It's just like, why? Why do you do this to us? I'm gonna need so much therapy. And so, Luke, you got my genes, all right? You're going to need therapy whether we do that to you or not. But we went and we had a great time. John, am I right? Jacob, you guys were there, had a great time. I'll tell you some of those stories. But I got to tell you this, just because it's a guys group. I got this idea that I thought I'd have some fun. And so they went down to Lansing for to go to the Capitol and everything. We met them partway. Then we went to a hotel. And then we flew out of Flint the next day. And so we're in the vehicle, and one of the guys that went with us, his mom, is the manager of the Hampton Inn in our town. And I said, guys, I got some good news and some bad news. And I said, hey, the good news is this. We almost lost our room. I said, thank God for Mrs. Tussey. She called and made sure we had our room because we almost lost everything. And they're like, well, what's the bad news? I said, well, the bad news is the entire hotel is booked. And the problem is it's booked with 500 high school cheerleaders. So they're like, what was bad about that? Nothing bad about that. And I told them I was just kidding. The hotel was empty. But when we got to Disney, no lie, we stayed at the All Sports Resort, which is more for like school groups and things. And when we walked out, am I right, Jacob and David? Hundreds of cheerleaders. They're like, Brother Eglin was right. Woo! Right. Now, I'll tell you this. That might not, well, the fact that they were in fifth and sixth grade didn't help, okay? It was kind of like cheerleaders, but that's kind of weird. Not interested, all right? But I did have to do this. I did do this. I was all excited. Man, we're going to Disney World. I'm excited. And all of a sudden, something hit me. You know, during the summer months and things, they have special weeks, all right? Where they emphasize something. I don't know if they have Christian week. I don't know if they have teen week, but they also have things like gay week and things like that. And so I thought, oh no. I heard of one of our staff members, they got married and they went to Disney World. They were having their honeymoon on the gay week, gay pride week or something like that. So I thought, oh no, I better check. And I was really nervous about typing that in, you know. I'm like going to get a call from headquarters. What are you searching for? You know, do you need counseling? No, I'm fine. I'm just making sure that we're okay. Could you imagine? Man, all these guys, we're all excited. Yeah! All the other guys would be excited too. We wouldn't want to be excited, all right? But man, we had a good time. I'll tell you more about that. But it was just funny. We walked in and they're like, you weren't lying. It was cheerleader camp, but they were little kids. So, but anyways, I'm honored to be here. Many of you have had an opportunity to preach to in the local area and things. I'm honored to do that. I do want to help you. I love to give you something that maybe you can leave with. And I want to be a help to you tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go. I'm going to have you go to two places, but the first place I'll have you go to, I'd like you to go to the Old Testament. I'd like you to go to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Brother, you're from West Coast Baptist. Did you guys drive all the way out here, making the track out here? I got to be in Louisiana last year. I was with our tour group, and we were at Smite Camp. Have you ever heard about Smite Camp? All right. Hence, we're not there this year. It's intense, man. Have you ever been there?
I have not. I've just heard of that.
Okay, the guy who runs it, his name is Jerry. We ended up loving him. He was just awesome. But he's very strong coffee. He's very, very intense, man. And it was a blast. We had this group called We Got Jerry'd, man. If you were not where you were supposed to be, it was like I was in school again getting yelled at. I'm like, dude, I'm the leader, you know. Please, back off. But got to be with the West Coast Baptist College guys group last year and had a lot of fun with them. They're just great. And hoping to get a chance to meet your group a little bit. So Dr. Rasmussen was at Crown when I went to Crown. And when the twins were little, this shows my age, I was giving them guitar lessons. And Dr. Rasmussen would say, hey, do that real crazy. He wanted me to start jamming in Dr. Rasmussen's, you know, living room. He'd get his family around. He wanted me to tear it up. And I was like, oh, I don't think this is good for my image. But anyways, but I was giving them one of them guitar lessons. Favorite teacher I've ever had in my life. Am I right? Dr. Rasmussen is just the man. And so Tim Christensen was my dorm suit. And he married Nicole. Nicole's from our church. Her dad, Brother MacArthur, was our song leader at our church. And so go way, way back. Nicole was my next door neighbor back before I was even saved. She could probably tell you stories. But Tim was my dorm soup, and Tim graduated a year before me. He's been out West Coast, I think, 1 year longer than I've been with Dr. Jenkins. So if you remember, tell him I all said hi, and they'll be like, oh, Haglund, we know him. So, but good to have you guys. Want to be a help and a blessing to you. What time, brother?
8:40.
All right. Okay. We'll go to 1 Kings chapter 3 in just a moment. Birthdays. Love birthdays. Birthdays are often, you know, you're often presented a cake. It's got candles on it. And if you know like I do, it's custom to say, before you blow out the candles, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to make a wish. All right? Now, we all know that the saying goes like this. If you voice your wish, what will happen? It won't come true. You can't tell anybody. And we all know that, but after you blow them out, they're like, what was your wish, dude? What was your wish? I can't tell. As if we really told it wouldn't come true. All right? You've all heard that saying, star light, star bright, first star I see tonight. Wish I may, wish I might, have the wish that I wish tonight. Anybody know of that? And you're like, secretly, you don't tell anybody, but you know, first star, you're like, oh, I'm wishing. We had a guy, a little town called Boyne City. If you know where Boyne, anybody know where Boyne City is? Okay, it's just a little town there. I don't know if you know this, John and Jacob, but Blake Gober works for Chad Vest, one of the guys in our church. He's a painter. He went to go get a couple monster drinks. That'll help you out, won't it, to get through the day? All right. He was standing in line. Tiny little town, smaller than Gaylord. Tiny little town, couple, older couple, was bought a $5 lottery ticket, scratched it off last, I think Friday, won $500,000 right in front of him. He said, "Hi, my name's Blake. Is there anything I can do for you?" But hey, as if, you know, we make a wish, that great wish is going to come true. We've all read books, we've heard stories, we've seen movies where a leprechaun is caught. And you know what happens. If you catch a leprechaun, what do you get to do? Talk to me. Well, that... No, you get what? You get three things.
Three wishes.
Three wishes. All right, let me ask you a question. If you could have three wishes, what would you wish for? I know exactly what I'd wish for. I'd wish for more wishes. And then they say, that's against the rule book. Well, then I wish that there's no more rule book. And number two wish, I want more wishes. All right, I'd figure it out, okay? But you all know that's what happens if you catch a leprechaun. If you ever have or you've seen one, please don't tell me. I really don't want to know. That'll keep me up way later than I need to be. Birthday wishes make for good fun. Leprechaun stories are just that. They're just stories. Wishing on a star, all it is superstition and nothing more. But there is, however, a special organization that specializes in making wishes come true. In the spring of 1980, a 7-year-old by the name of Christopher, he was being treated for leukemia. He'd always wanted to be a police officer. U.S. Customs officer Tommy Austin befriended Chris. And he worked with officers at the Arizona Department of Public Safety to plan an experience to lift Chris's spirits. Chris spent the day as a police officer, rode in a police helicopter, received a custom-tailored police uniform, and was sworn in as the first honorary DPS patrolman in the state history. And Chris soon died afterward. But his wish became an inspiration for the world's largest wish-granting organization. Anybody want to guess what it is? It's the Make-A-Wish organization, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I think this is pretty interesting. I believe in order to be a part of the Make-A-Wish or to receive one, you've got to be 2.5 years old to, I believe, 11 years old or 18 years old. You've got to be referred to by your physician. It's got to be that serious. But I thought this was interesting. The Make-A-Wish Foundation grants a wish on average every 38 minutes to a child with a life-threatening medical condition. Wishes come in all shapes and sizes. Some are heartfelt and jaw-dropping. Some are, others are funny or tear-jerkers. But here's the whole idea. They go to a little child who has a life-threatening disease, and they try to make a wish come true. A kid says, "I've always wanted to be. I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to experience." And what their goal is to try to make that wish come true. Here's what I want to ask you tonight, gentlemen. I want to ask you, what if you had the opportunity to make a wish? I don't want you to answer this by saying anything, but I want you to really think about it. What would you wish for? Now, I know we'd all joke around, you know, and say some funny things, but honestly, before God, what would you wish for if you really could have whatever you wanted? What's the one thing you would wish for? This is exactly what happened to King Solomon. What if it wasn't just you were able to make a wish? What if the one that was saying to you, "Ask for anything and I'll give it to you," what if that one was God? It happened to Solomon. Can you look in your scriptures with me? 1 Kings chapter 3. I want you just to go to verse number 9. Now Solomon falls asleep. He has a dream and God is speaking to him. We don't need that to happen today. We have the complete word of God. But that was one of the ways that God chose to speak to people in the Old Testament. Solomon has a dream, the Bible says, and God said. So God's going to ask him. He says, "Ask what I shall give thee." And so Solomon begins to respond to that. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 6. "And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant's in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted from multitude." Here's his wish. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord. The Bible's going to go on if you'll read it, and God's going to grant his wish. You say, what did he wish for? What did he ask for? It was wisdom. God says, because if you would have asked long life, I would have given it to you. If you would have asked for riches, I would have given it to you. If you would have asked anything, I would have given it to you. But he said, because you asked wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom and all the other things. That's a pretty incredible story, because it's not a fake story. It's not a wishing upon a star. It's not a birthday wish. It's not catching a leprechaun wish. It's not some fake story. It really happened. A man was approached by God, and God said, ask anything and I'll give it to you. What if you were in Solomon's place and God came to you tonight and said, I'll give you anything you want? What would you ask for? What an incredible story. What an incredible opportunity. Because I know me and I know you. I don't know that I'd ask for wisdom. It'd be more like this. I know I'm supposed to ask for wisdom, but man, I really want a Ferrari. I know I'm supposed to ask for wisdom, but man, I got this kid I don't like at school. And man, I'd love for him to be plagued with some nasty skin disease tomorrow. You know, I wish I could tell you I'd be spiritual. And so for average mankind to be presented with a gift, to ask one wish from God, I don't know that we'd be that spiritual. But Solomon really did. He really did ask for wisdom. God, in essence, says to Solomon, make a wish, anything. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And can I tell you something? Solomon didn't ask for this, guys, because he was stupid. It wasn't that he was mentally challenged. He asked this because he really wanted it. He says, God, you've given me a great opportunity. I need your wisdom. I need your help. I can't do this without you. I think it's interesting to note, and I won't belabor this, but if you look at the scripture, look, Solomon loved the Lord before this happened, and he loved the Lord after this happened. You say, well, if I could just make a wish and make any request, and if God would give it to me, then I would serve the Lord. Then I would be better. If I had this in my life, then I would truly serve God. But can I tell you something? This request only made Solomon, it only enhanced what he already was. In other words, if he was wicked before, no matter what he got, he'd just be even more wicked. But you want to know, he loved the Lord before and he loved the Lord after. Whatever God's going to give you, it's just going to enhance what you already are. And I want God to give you some great things. You say, what's the big deal? If there's anything you need, it's wisdom. Can I quote an Old Testament proverb for you? Wisdom is the principal thing. What's the principal thing? The chief, the very best, the very first thing you ought to ask for. God says this, the principal, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. God says, if there's one thing you ought to strive for, more than money, more than a girlfriend, more than a career, more than anything, more than good grades, God says the first thing you ought to go after, if the first thing, the best thing, the chief thing, the top of the list, ought to be wisdom. That's what the Bible says. If you really think about it, this is what we need more than anything. Guys, can I tell you something? You have so many huge, life-impacting decisions you're going to have to make in the next few months and next few years, that the wrong decision could take you down a really bad path. Do you remember the story, for those of you who know the Bible, do you remember the story between Abraham and Lot? And man, they started butting heads like this because God was blessing both of them. Their herdmen were fighting with each other, and they just outgrown. And Abraham says, go whatever way you want. You look whatever way you go, I'll go the other way. You know what I find interesting? Abraham, father of the faith, the patriarch of all patriarchs. The Bible never says that Lot said, hey, Uncle Abraham, what do you think I should do? No, you want to know what he did? He looked at the plains that were well-watered and pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And let me tell you something. He made one decision, and it ruined his life. It ruined his family. It got messed up after that. The Bible says that Abraham chose the plains of Mamre, but it was God that said, let me show you what I'm going to give you. One bad decision. Just one. Not a whole bunch. Just one decision. So guess what you need? You've got all sorts of one decision times in your life that could either make your life or break your life. So guess what? You can come to me for counsel. You can go to your youth pastor for counsel. Go to your parents. But you want to know what you need more than anything? God, if I could have one wish, one request, would you give me wisdom? Wisdom. Look, when I was wavering whether I was going to serve God or not, I'm 40 now. I'm old. Now, everybody older than me thinks I'm not old, but you all think I'm old. You all think 40 is nasty and old, and, you know, to some degree it is, all right? But here's what's kind of cool about my generation. I was the lead scorer in our varsity basketball team. I was the star quarterback. I was the most popular kid in our school. You don't think so? Fact check it. We didn't have Facebook. You can't fact check it, so I can just lie. You guys are going to grow up and tell your kids how cool you were, and they're going to find all your dorky junior high videos that you used to post that are somewhere out there in cyberspace, and your kids are going to come to you and say, hey, Dad, you were a nerd, man. You didn't have any friends. You didn't have any girlfriends. Look at all the comments people posted that you tried to forget about. Can I tell you something? I look back at the wavering that I had when I was younger, and you want to know what was hanging in the balance? Opportunities like this, to be in the ministry, to have five children, to that's all that I was deciding. Do I want this life or not? I didn't know it then. You want to know what you need more than anything? You say, Brother Hagelin, what's your thought? What's your title? It's simply this: make a wish. So, Brother Hagelin, what do you mean make a wish? Every day you have an opportunity to make a request before God. And my advice is this: ask for wisdom. I was going to have you turn there, but you don't need to turn there. It's a familiar verse to many people, James chapter 1, verse 5. God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And the promise is he'll give it to you. Look, I still lack wisdom in my life in some areas. You lack wisdom in some areas of your life. You know what we need to do every day? We need to get up and not blow out candles, not catch a leprechaun, not find the first star, not buy a $5 lottery ticket that wins $500,000, although if you'd share it with me, I don't care what the brethren say, I would take it, all right? You get down on your knees, you say, dear God, if I could have one thing, if I could have one request, God, I'm asking for wisdom. You think about all of the things, all the heartaches that God could spare in your life if you'll ask for one thing: make a wish. Now, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. You ever done something really stupid and your parents asked the dumbest question? What were you thinking? I think it's pretty obvious I wasn't thinking. All right, anybody ever have that? I remember one time I was a teenager, and I gave my dad the speech. It was on 4th of July. He had all these fireworks. And I'm like, Dad, I'm old enough. I was like 15 years old. I'm like old enough to handle responsibility of letting off firecrackers. Can I please let off my own firecrackers? I'm just nagging him like a teenager. Come on, come on, come on. Finally, he gives them to me. No lie. Within 30 seconds, we're standing out on our street. I'm like, sweet. I had like these lady fingers or something like that. And I had all these like this. And I just happened to look over. And my dad's, I'm the oldest. So I got my younger sister, my two younger brothers. My dad's kind of got them in a group like this. And they're doing like sparklers or something like this. And all of a sudden, 30 seconds after I spent a half an hour convincing him I can handle the responsibility, I went, oh, this would be fun. I lit them and I threw them right in the middle of their little crowd. Boom, 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 boom. Scared them down. I thought it was hilarious. My dad didn't think it was very hilarious. I'd never forget this. He called me a jerk. I was like, my dad just called me a jerk. And you're an idiot and all this kind of stuff. He's like, what were you thinking? And after I kind of grabbed hold of the whole situation, I'm like, I think it's obvious I wasn't. All right. We've all had those times. If any of us lack wisdom, look, here's the thing. That was firecrackers. But what you don't want to be doing is doing something stupid when it comes to a spiritual decision that ruins the rest of your life. You know people in your school, in your youth group, in your life, as a teenager, they made one decision and it wrecked the rest of their life. They might have been a Christian. They might have been in church. They might have had a chance to do something great. But one decision took them all the way down the wrong path. You say, Brother Hagelin, I don't want to wreck and ruin my life. I don't know anybody here that's going to go to the altar tonight or tomorrow and say, dear God, help me. I want to, tomorrow when I wake up, God helping me, I want to wreck and ruin my life. Nobody says that. But can I tell you something? It happens. So you say, what do I do, Brother Hagelin? You make a wish. Before God, you say, Lord, if I could have one thing. Now, my flesh wants a lot of things, but God, the one thing that I need is wisdom. May I please have wisdom? You say, Brother Hagelin, what's this verse talking about? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom's that broad intelligence, that knowledge for all the very difficult areas of life to kind of navigate through that. Liberally, it's just talking about simply. But here's the cool part, and unbraideth not. You ever ask something and you're kind of nervous to ask your parents, Mom and Dad, can I borrow some money? What are you asking me for money for? I mean, good night. We're great. I was the oldest. And so we would do stuff like this. The oldest, how many of you are the oldest? Anybody the oldest in here? Yeah, we rule, don't we? We rule. And those little younger ones, they get everything, don't they? Yeah, yeah. How many of you are the younger ones? You're the younger ones. How many of the middle? And you're just, nobody even knows you exist, all right? Okay. Our middle child, Andrea, we call her monkey in the middle, all right? She's a poor thing. Sometimes she's grouped in with the older, sometimes she's grouped in the younger. But here's what we would do. We'd be like, hey, man, we'd go to the youngest one. We'd say, we're pulling up to like the store. We'd be like, hey, ask Dad if we can get a candy bar. Ask Dad if we can get a candy bar. Okay, okay. And the youngest one, Dad, can we get a candy bar? No, you guys are always asking. We're like, yeah, you're always asking. Dad's working hard for his money. You always got to ask stuff. But let me tell you something. If he said yes, we're like, yeah, it's awesome. Woo! And then we do crazy stuff like this. I don't know if you guys ever did this. We all get a candy bar, and man, we all start wolfing it down, and I'd start eating mine real slow, and I'd wait till they were all done and because they ate so quick, and then you do this. Oh, I'm so glad I still have mine left. Oh, this is so good. Dad, he's enjoying his candy bar. Oh, sorry. And then it's like, and then you start staring at him. Dad, he's looking at me. You know, that kind of stuff. Stop looking at me. Okay, apparently that's a crime. But you know what? That unbraideth, that means God won't make you feel guilty for asking. What are you asking me for more money for? What are you asking me for wisdom? God says, no, ask me. And I won't look at you and go, why are you asking for wisdom? You know, you got some other things to figure out. No, you ask God for wisdom, and he says, I'm so glad you asked because I've been waiting to give you some. I'll give you as much as you want. If you lack wisdom, look, pick an area. Guys, I remember this, talking about Dr. Rasmussen. First time I ever heard this, I was in Bible college, and he said you ought to pray for your future husband or future wife. Folks, let me help you. You're praying for your future wife. All right, I'm just giving you a little bit of boost there, okay? But he challenged us in a chapel sermon. I had never heard that before. I started praying for my future wife, whoever she might be. Hey, praying about what God wants you to do with your life. Praying about making good decisions. Praying about God guarding your heart. Praying about God helping you fall in love with, like Brother Tony Shirley said, falling in love with Jesus. Because sometimes we stray. So God, give me wisdom how I can stay in the same track. God said, if you lack wisdom in any area, ask him. What area do you need wisdom in? Ask him for it. Make that wish. The promise this is this. He says, and it shall be given him. Every day we wake up, we're presented with a Solomon opportunity. You don't need a dream for God to come and say, make a wish. We have God's word. You can go to James chapter 1, verse 5 every morning and say, God, I can look at this scripture and you're coming to me right now and you said, if I lack wisdom, to let me ask of God. And God, I'm taking every morning, I just want to take a moment and say, God, I'm asking for wisdom. And sometimes you can be specific. Maybe it's wisdom in a specific area. I want to ask you a question. Our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed. Very simple. You guys have listened so well. How many of you right now, and I'm not looking for everybody to raise their hand, but I'm looking for some specifics. You'd say, Brother Hagland, Lord helping me, God helping me, I'm going to make this matter of asking God for wisdom. I'm going to do my best to make it a part of my daily routine or at least an occasional thing where I'm asking God for wisdom. You'd say, Brother Hagland, I'm serious about that. Pray for me. I really want to do that. God bless you. God bless you. Say, pray for me. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Just a simple thought this evening on Make-A-Wish. Lord, I pray you just, with all the sermons that they'll hear today and throughout this whole summer, that you just burn this thought in their hearts and their minds that they can make a wish every day. They can come before God and make a request. He's already asked. You've already asked that this group of young men will one time every day just say, Lord, give me wisdom if you give me anything. We pray in Jesus' name.